In our scripture reading today, Peter is a fisher. He went fishing, and during the week, I was Peter. I took 3 days off and went to fishing, and it was really good. And I thought, okay, maybe I can share a little bit about that. And all I have in my head, I mean brain and mind, was fishing. Okay. And you'd hear me all about fishing. So let's find another way. So this morning we will hear the bishop, our new bishop, will talk about enough, more than enough. We will listen to him and asking God to speak to us.
It is a joy to share a message with you in these days after Easter. We can still proclaim Christ is risen. He is risen indeed.
Volume up, please.
It's a beautiful phrase, isn't it? On Easter Sunday, the day of the resurrection, we proclaim Jesus' victory over sin and death. No longer are we full of sorrow and without hope. Now we are forgiven and free. Jesus has acted on our behalf. Jesus is our Savior. In the days following Easter, we are disciples who are becoming apostles, to share the good news in our words and deeds. We have an identity and a mission. We act on behalf of our Lord Jesus. Jesus is our Lord. That is why we say Jesus is our Lord and Savior. He saves us in our brokenness so we can serve him in our blessedness. I have discovered that God comes to us when we are broken and when we are blessed. Jesus came to me in the Lenten season of my sixth grade year. I was broken with fear and homesickness. My father was out of a job and we had no home. I was living with relatives and I did not know when my family would be back together. I was lost, not knowing what the future would hold. And suddenly, out of nowhere, a miracle occurred to me in the middle of a Sunday evening worship service when I recognized the presence of Christ in my life. At that moment, I was made whole in my brokenness. I was saved from my fear, doubt, and disappointment, and claimed a blessed assurance that God was real. Yes, Jesus comes to us when we're broken. In fact, most people, when they share their faith stories, talk about a time when they were broken, lost, headed in the wrong direction. And many sermons tell stories of how Jesus can forgive us, heal us, mend us, take care of our relationships, and save us when we receive him into our life. And yet, knowing what Christ has done for us is not enough. Jesus also comes to us when we are blessed, when we are filled with overflowing beauty and love and gratitude and meaningful relationships. That happened to me in the summer after my ninth grade year at Central High School in Fort Wayne, Indiana. It was at Epworth Forest Church Camp in the North Indiana Conference, only a couple of summers after I rejoined my family. I matured early in my sixth grade experience, and I put everything into school. My first year of high school was amazing. I was starting quarterback on the ninth grade football team. I had a lead in the freshman class play. I was a member of the honor roll. And best of all, I was dating the future homecoming queen. Life was good. I was blessed. By the time I arrived at church camp, they call it Senior High Institute, I was blessed and grateful for being back with my family and being affirmed in so many ways. Like most camps, the week was full of activities, sports, Bible study, preaching, skits, singing fun. The camp also had a singing group and a drama troupe where those people served as role models for us. Thursday was commitment night, and following an amazing service that reminded us about how much God loved us, we made a vow of silence. For an hour, I walked and prayed around that campus and watched other students. Then we returned to the auditorium for a time of commitment and Holy Communion. When the invitation came to give our lives to Jesus Christ, it was not only to be a pastor or missionary, although those are things to be considered. It was to make a commitment to follow Jesus wherever he leads you, to lean on him, to trust him, and to give your all for him. And I remember having a lump in my throat and tears in my eyes as I stood up from my seat and made my way to the altar. I knelt before God not because I was broken, because I was so blessed, I wanted to be a blessing to others. I did not decide to be a pastor until after college, but I knew Jesus had acted on my behalf, and I wanted to serve him and act on his behalf and live for others. Have you ever recognized Jesus in your abundance when your life was full, when you were blessed? In our scripture, the disciples did not recognize Jesus until their nets were full and they were blessed, and they shared the breakfast of fish and bread. If you remember, in Mark's Gospel, chapter 14, immediately following the Last Supper, Jesus predicts Peter's denial and says, "But after I am raised up, I will go before you to Galilee." And then later in Mark, in chapter 16, there's an account of the resurrection. The women go to the tomb, and they were told, "Go and tell Peter and the disciples that he's going ahead of you to Galilee. There you will see him just as he told you." Well, our lesson today is an epilogue of John's Gospel that fulfills the words in Mark. Here we have a resurrection appearance of Jesus in Galilee, over 70 miles north of Jerusalem, where the crucifixion took place. Jesus appears to Peter and the disciples after they've gone back to work. Isn't that just like Jesus, to track us down and meet us where we are? This resurrection appearance is told in a boatload of contrast. On one side, it is nighttime, and in the darkness, there are empty nets. On the other side, it is daybreak, and the catch is so great, the nets are overflowing. On one side, the disciples are remembering the good old days when Jesus was with them, and they had said, "We had hoped that he was the one to save Israel." And on the other side, the disciples all recognize Jesus and look to a future with hope. On one side, Peter is trying to prove his worth after he denied Jesus three times. On the other side, Peter recognizes a new opportunity to express his love and willingness to serve by jumping into the water and swimming to his Lord. On one side, Jesus has been crucified, dead, and buried. On the other side, Jesus appears unexpectedly and gives new life. We've all been in that boat, haven't we? At some point, each of us has been caught between scarcity and abundance, between despair and hope, between grave and faith that will not die. As mature Christians, we have to acknowledge that much of life is bittersweet. We've had those experiences when we were down and were surprised by joy. And we've had those times when our joy was tempted by some unexpected setback. Like being excited about your daughter's wedding and discovering on the day of the rehearsal that she has run up a large credit card debt. Or going to meet your son at his high school graduation and learning that he had an accident that totaled the family car. Or saying a final goodbye to a loved one and having a new grandchild born as a sign of hope. Joy and sorrow can be close together, and Jesus is always close by in both of them. In our scripture, it's interesting to me that Jesus was on the shore calling out to the disciples in the boat, and yet they did not recognize him, but they still followed him. It's kind of like the walk to Emmaus in Luke's gospel, where Jesus is among the disciples, and they're so busy with their worries and their work that they do not recognize him. But when they listen to Jesus and they cast their nets on the right side of the boat, they made an overwhelming catch, so large that they were not able to haul it in, and yet their nets did not tear. You might say they had more than enough. I mean, they recognized how much they had been blessed. They could face the realities before them. They could face the future when they counted their blessings. As the Christian saying goes, when the praises go up, the blessings come down. Not in a magical way. It is when we remember the goodness of God and experience his power. That's why worship's important, because when we read scripture, repeat creeds, and sing the hymns, it reminds us of what God has already done. It gives us strength. Well, this morning I want to tell you that faith in the resurrection of Jesus Christ is more than just looking backwards. We have to anticipate the surprises God has.
It seems the video is frozen. I really love his point. And do you see Peter in this story? And I see myself. We should mention about Peter's mistake. The day before Jesus was arrested, he denied Jesus three times. How could he? A couple of weeks ago, I mentioned about that. I mean, how could he even manage his life? If I were Peter, I don't think that I can handle just even 1 minute. Oh no. Maybe he could end up just like Judas. But he made another choice. He probably have thought, I'm a terrible person. But on the other hand, when Jesus showed up again, yes, he made the right choice. One side, sometimes, what do you make? It could be right, many times wrong. But the other side, Jesus said, go this way. This way. It's me. As we walk in our faith journey, I believe it is our job to find Jesus everywhere and find the direction, find the point Jesus is guiding us. And I really love Bishop begins with his sermon. He said, Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, he comes to us when we were broken. I really love him. My grandma used to say, you know what, Paul? The people who come when things go well, yes, they are somebody who know you. But people who come and visit you and stand with you when things go really bad, they are your friend. The Peter, frustrated, so bad, when Jesus comes, he find friends, he find life, and he finds hope. That's the meaning of having Jesus Christ in our lives. And our task is to see Jesus. And having Jesus in our mind is more than enough. More than enough.